The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. At that time, the Lord appointed 72 others whom he sent ahead of him in pairs to every town and place he intended to visit. He said to them, The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. Go on your way. Behold, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. Carry no money bag, no sack, no sandals, and greet no one along the way. Into whatever house you enter, first say, peace to this household. If a peaceful person lives there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you. Stay in the same house and eat and drink what is offered to you, for the laborer deserves his payment. Do not move about from one house to another. Whatever town you enter and they welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick in it and say to them, the kingdom of God is at hand for you. Whatever town you enter and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, the dust of your town that clings to our feet, even that we shake off against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God is at hand. I tell you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom on that day than for that town. The 72 returned and said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us because of your name. Jesus said, I have observed Satan fall like lightning from the sky. Behold, I have given you the power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and upon the full force of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice because the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. The Gospel of the Lord. The promises that priests make at their ordination is to pray daily for the church. We fulfill this obligation by praying what is called the Liturgy of the Hours. The Liturgy of the Hours are prayers structured around the Book of Psalms from the Bible. And over a four-week period at five different hours or moments to stop to pray each day, each priest and religious prays through the Book of Psalms. These hours also include various canticles, lyrics of old songs that were recorded for us in both the Old and the New Testaments. One of these canticles is the one we heard in our first reading today, and it appears in morning prayer of Thursday in the first week of the four-week cycle, which was just this past week. I began to pray the Liturgy of the Hours as a seminarian, and we would pray in the seminary. We would pray morning prayer and evening prayer together in the chapel each day. And I can admit that the first few times that we encountered this canticle from our first reading today in that cycle, I found myself just a little embarrassed to proclaim or even just to hear the words out loud in the chapel. Oh, that you may suck fully of the milk of her comfort, that you may nurse with delight at her abundant breasts. Maybe it was just weird to have 100 men in a chapel saying that out loud. I don't know. But really, certainly, it was a sign that there was a level of maturity that I needed to obtain in order to overcome my embarrassment at speaking these words. But I do think that there was another part of this that we can ascribe to how our over-sexualized culture has distorted the way that we look at women. Because the image that we are of a woman that we are given in the first reading today is that of a nourishing mother, a very beautiful image. And with the number of young children here this morning, I don't think it has any problem for you guys to imagine that too. This image that we get of the nourishing mother contradicts the way that our culture invites us to think of women and their bodies. But if perhaps you still think that this image is strange, well, let me just ask, has anybody here ever called the school that they graduated from, their high school or their college, their alma mater, right? Their alma mater? Sure, we do that often. It's very common. And if you have, well, then you've already invoked this image. That's because alma mater is actually a Latin phrase that literally translates to nourishing mother. Nourishing mother, alma mater. So why do we call our schools alma maters? Because they are places where we find nourishment, not only intellectually, but also emotionally, as we form friendships that will last for many years into the future. And we are cared for by teachers and staff who help to form us to be good persons once we are sent out into the world. For the ancient Israelites, Jerusalem, the holy city, was this nourishing mother. The canticle from the first reading today was written during their exile in Babylon, and it is a song of hope proclaiming that the Lord will return prosperity to Jerusalem and that all of the Israelites will return to enjoy the nourishment and comfort that will be found in her, the milk that will flow from her abundant breasts and the arms that will comfort them like a mother comforts her little child. The minds and hearts of the Israelites, it would also be the place where they would find strength as a nation, so as to stand strong and faithful to the commandments of God, no matter where life's journey would take them or what challenges might arise. Thus, the Israelites longed for this while they were in exile. And through Isaiah the prophet, they heard this hopeful proclamation that God would indeed restore Jerusalem, so they could again enjoy it. Now, for us Christians, God has given us the church to be our alma mater, our nourishing mother. She is the new Jerusalem that God has established through Jesus to be the place, to be our place to find nourishment and comfort, and thus the strength to go out into the world. It is here that we come when we are weary from the difficulties that we suffer in the world, and it is here that we find strength to go back out into the world and to be faithful to all God has commanded us and to be witnesses to his love for all mankind. Thus, if our schools are alma maters because they have been places of nourishment and strengthening so that we can go out to successfully complete some work in the world, then so too must we recognize how the church is our alma mater par excellence, in whom we find nourishment and strength to go out and complete our mission from God. And the church, my brothers and sisters, is nothing less than Jesus himself. In our gospel reading today, Jesus sends his disciples out to reap the Lord's harvest. And up to that point, Jesus had been nourishing his disciples with his word and his fellowship, and he strengthened them by giving them his power and authority to work mighty deeds. And he sent them out to bring this good news to all the cities and towns that he wished to enter. The disciples went out and did indeed do mighty works in Jesus' name, and thus brought many to believe in him. Then they returned to him to celebrate what had been done and to be nourished and strengthened once again so as to continue this work in Jesus' name. But just as Jesus was, in a sense, that nourishing mother for his disciples who strengthened them with his word and gave them his power and authority to go out and do mighty deeds in his name so that the nations would come to know that he had come to save us, so too did Jesus establish the church to be our nourishing mother, to do the same for us. And so, just like those first disciples who went out to the towns and villages that Jesus wanted to enter, so we too must go out to the towns and villages that surround us, to the people who have not yet seen, have not yet received the light of faith, to show them the mighty power of God. That is, the faith that has the power to transform their lives in positive ways. And then we must return, like the first disciples did, to share and celebrate our successes and to be nourished to go out and do it all again. And this is radical, right? Radical, because it requires us to give up some things that we want to do in our lives, so that we might be about the work of bringing forth God's kingdom. But this, nonetheless, is what we are being called to do. And quite frankly, if we wish to call ourselves Christian, well then, we must do it. Harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few, Jesus told his disciples. Brothers and sisters, the same is still true for us. One of the shocking statistics of our diocese is that it is only 8 to 9% Catholic. That means that less than 10% of the people who live in the 24 counties that make up our diocese are Catholic. Perhaps an even more shocking statistic is that nearly half of our diocese population is completely unchurched. They don't go to any church at all. Thus, the harvest is indeed abundant, and it appears that the workers have been far too few. First, however, we must be nourished, right? We must be nourished. That is, we must bask in the light of faith ourselves. In other words, we must find nourishment in our alma mater, the church, by dwelling in the word which she safeguards, and by being fed from this Eucharistic table which she never fails to prepare for us. This is exactly what we do in the Mass each and every week, right? We come together to give thanks to God for all the blessings that he's bestowed upon us throughout this past week. And then in the Mass, we are nourished with God's word and receive spiritual strength when we receive Christ's body and blood from this table. And then we are sent out to do it all again when at the end of Mass, the priest or the deacon says, go and announce the gospel of the Lord. You know, whenever we'd have, when I was in the seminary, our seminary rector, when we'd have a little conference, you know, he'd always be about just like, you know, you always got to have this idea of being able to go out. So he would give us a blessing at the end of the conference, and then he would just say, now get out. You know, he would always just be like, go, don't stick around here. You know, the seminary is not the place you're called to be. You're called to go and fulfill the mission of God. My dear brothers and sisters, if any of you here are struggling to find that nourishment and strength here in the church, well, then please ask for help. You know, this is really what we're all here for, to help each other and strengthen each other in faith and in discipleship. And don't be afraid to tell somebody that you see here at church, like, hey, you know, somebody maybe you have a friendship with, hey, you know, I'm actually really struggling in my faith. Is there some, you know, can I talk with you about it? And just let's share with each other what's working for us and support each other in that way. If you perhaps are just simply apathetic about it all, well, then please pray to God for the light of faith. You know, and just ask simply, God, I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing here. Just please give me the light of faith. I promise you that will not be a moment wasted. God does not fail to answer those prayers. Whatever you do, do something, right? You know, don't just sit around. Do something and the light of faith will be given to you. God's power will shine through you like it did through those first disciples. So let us then be renewed today by our alma mater, the church, and be strengthened by the food that she provides, and thus go forth to reap an abundant harvest for the Lord.